Thank you. Tall fescue and Bermuda grass are grown widely in the southeast, during the USA. They probably receive more broiler litter than any other perennial forages. Their high growth rates, under high fertility, and their extensive rooting systems make them valuable in nutrient recycling systems. But Bermuda grass, being a warm season grass, is dormant in the winter. So a lot of cool season species are grown over the winter time to kind of fill that gap and allow for year-round haying or grazing of those pastures. Now, while that does enable high biomass production in these systems, and that's to reach a nutrient management goal for a farm, a real important consideration is the nutritive value, which is the amount of digestible nutrients that are available to the animal and stored on the farm, and then the level of animal performance that's going to result from feeding that herbage. Another consideration is we emphasize the tall fescue component in this study because cool season grasses are generally more digestible than the warm season grasses. So if we could improve the tall fescue productivity in these stands, we might improve the overall nutritive value and digestibility of that herbage. Another consideration we had in the study was that it's sometimes possible, even in these southern locations, to favor one of these species over another. For example, with fertilizer timing to reduce the competition by Bermuda grass on the tall fescue component in the mixture. We also looked at sustainability of this forage production system over the long term through the use of the summer dormant varieties of tall fescue. So the mouse is here somewhere. If we look at the graph of the growth activity in these two grasses, all right, it's here somewhere. There it is. So we have on the x-axis the month of the year, and then the y-axis the yield or growth activity, and tall fescue is the dark shaded graph. You'll notice its peak activity is in April. It also has a peak growth activity in late fall or October. Now, in southern locations, that's going to be very much dependent on the amount of soil moisture in the soil. In addition, this is probably more like in the transition zone in the northern regions because there's much less growth of tall fescue in the southern locations. If we take, for example, the summer dormant variety of tall fescue, the Fletcher variety, this is the growth of Bermuda grass, which has a peak in July. And so if there's less growth of the tall fescue, it would not compete directly with the Bermuda grass during that summer peak, and so it might persist longer in that mixture. So the objectives were then to evaluate these binary mixtures and the seasonal nitrogen treatment effects on the herbage nutritive value based upon the level of summer dormancy in the tall fescue cultivars. We also had opportunity to evaluate two Bermuda grass cultivars, Russell and Tifton, based upon their level of stoloniferous growth. Russell is a very stoloniferous Bermuda grass, and so I thought more open ground might allow for tall fescue to be more vigorous in the spring and fall. This thing is going all by itself. The study was conducted in the South Farm on a Marietta fine sandy loam, and this Bermuda grass was sprigged in 2004 and fertilized uniformly. Then in 2007, we direct seeded the tall fescue varieties in the dormant sods, and fertilize them regularly for that first year, for the, what I'll say is the establishment year. Why is this thing going by itself? It's the mice. So the experimental design, we had the two Bermuda grass cultivars, Russell and Tifton, replicated four blocks as the main plot. In the subplots, we had the two tall fescue cultivars and the three seasonal nitrogen treatments, which are based on when the boiler litter was applied. And I'll discuss that in the next slide. Each year, the study was conducted for 2 years, each year there were two harvests in the spring and three harvests in the summer. And the herbage was analyzed for crude protein by combustion methods and total digestible nutrients by NIRS. So I have to speed up, I guess. So these are the seasonal nitrogen treatments. And the October-January treatment avoided any in applications beyond April. And this was to favor the tall fescue grass in the spring where it has its major growth activity. The March-May treatment applied the broiler litter in March and some of the nitrogen in the early spring and summer to favor Bermuda grass. And the January-March treatment applied broiler litter in January and then in the spring, some in the spring and summer, to favor both of the species. I call that optimal management. Reviewers didn't like that term. Okay. Digestible dry matter, ADF, which is inversely correlated with the potential digestibility of the herbage, and NDF, which is inversely related to the consumption of that herbage by the cattle, were done by NIRS. And thankfully, with the help of Glenn Aiken, we were able to get good calibration equations for the wet chemistry and NIRS measurements. I'll let you look at that table yourself. The September data, we used the consortium's grass equations. Glenn didn't have the group of samples on hand. So we emphasized the tall fescue component. One thing we did was looked at the cover and percent stands of the tall fescue using a provenance square. We did that in January, February, April, and May of each of the 2 years. So results I'm going to present are for the main effects. Some of these mixtures, the interactions with the seasonal nitrogen treatments are complex, but in general, they were due to a difference in the magnitude and not a difference in the sign of the interaction. So when we take all the hays, biomass weighted average of the nutritive value of those hays cut over the whole year, Jessup Tifton had the highest digestibility of all the hays, followed closely by Fletcher Tifton. Now, this is not too surprising. Tifton 44 cultivar is very digestible. Its digestibility ranges from, say, 550 to 750 grams per kilogram, which is good. It's better than, say, coastal Bermuda grass in its digestibility. The Jessup Tifton cultivar, or binary mixture, also had the lowest acid detergent fiber and neutral detergent fiber concentrations, and the crude protein concentrations were the highest of the binary mixtures as well. In terms of percent cover, the Jessup Summer Active tall fescue had the highest percent cover averaged over those four sampling dates. Now we look at just one component. So this, how did we get to that result previously for all the hays? If we break this down into the individual cuttings of the season, for dry matter disappearance, You'll note that the all 625 is considered a moderate value for meeting the digestible nutrient concentration of herbage for most classes of beef cattle. And in the spring, all of those binary mixtures met that level of digestibility. And in the warm season cuttings, the Jessup Tifton, maybe I have to point this out, but, Jessup Tifton. But anyway, Jessup Tifton and Fletcher Tifton had the highest digestibility, or greater than 625. Now, with Jessup in the binary mixture, active in the summer, it also tended to enhance the in vitro dry matter digestibility of that herbage relative to Fletcher Russell mixture. Similarly, those are the seasonal nitrogen treatments. Again, main effect means, as we did for the binary mixtures. All of the seasonal nitrogen treatments had values for digestible nutrients above the 625 level, but the October-January treatment had the highest digestible total dry matter disappearance, and also a highest, the lowest ADF and NDF concentrations, the highest crude proteins, and also produced the greatest percent cover of tall fescue during the spring period. Again, if we break these down into the individual cuttings in terms of the dry matter disappearance, In this cool season period, the April and May harvests, the all of those were above the 625 level. And then during the warm season, the October-January treatment gave the highest true dry matter digestibility of those nitrogen treatments. In terms of the acid detergent fiber, concentration of ADF in the herbage in July and August was the lowest in those seasonal nitrogen treatments, which corresponds to those treatments having the highest digestibility of the herbage in those at those times in July and August. Now, nitrogen or neutral detergent fiber didn't show as much effect or response to the seasonal nitrogen treatments as the other parameters of the herbage, although it was least in the October, January, and cool season. But overall, these and the other treatments, since they have about the same NDF, they probably would be consumed equally well by the cattle. Crude protein was kind of interesting because it was a little mixed up from perhaps the other parameters that we're looking at. It turns out that the March-May in the cool season had the highest crude protein content in that herbage. And that's a level that they're also above the 105 grams per kilogram level, which is considered moderate requirement for most classes of beef cattle. And in the summer period, or warm season period, the crude protein content fell below the 105, and this probably reflects the change in the biomass distribution between cool season grasses, which tend to have more crude protein, than the warm season grasses in these mixtures. And I can explain why the March-May treatment might have resulted in greater crude protein in that. Find my arrow again. Mice. Here we go. So broiler litter was applied in the March-May treatment in March and in May. And so that treatment resulted, the timing of the application near the time of harvest affected how the crude protein was affected in that treatment. dry matter was significantly affected by the seasonal nitrogen treatments in all the harvest dates. And turns out that the October-January avoiding nitrogen applications beyond April resulted in the greatest dry matter accumulation in the cool season, and then conversely in the warm season resulted in the lowest dry matter accumulation at each of the harvest dates. Get close to it. So in summary then, the nutritive value was similar in both the October-January and the March-May treatments. Based on the weighted sum, if you fed all those hays to the cattle, the nutritive value was greatest in the October-January treatment. And avoiding the N applications appeared to enable a combination of high nutritive value in combination with high biomass production. Nutritive value of these herbages was not affected in general by a binary mixture by seasonal N interaction. The Jessup-Tifton 44 combination had the highest nutritive value, but because it tended to have the lower biomass, you might have to balance those two functions, you know, on the farm. This was probably due to some suppression of Bermuda grass growing with that summer active tall fescue. I want to thank David Lang and Glenn Aiken for their help with the study.
Thank you very much.